Oh, to be like thee. This is my constant prayer. In my prayers, what do I pray? That's for you to ask yourself, by the way, and for me to ask myself. In my prayers, what is it that I pray? We're in the middle of a series, Powerful Prayers. The passage of Scripture that Cameron led as we gathered around the Lord's table from Psalm 51, will be a part of this series a little bit later on down the road. We have seen other great, powerful prayers, the prayers of two wonderful, faithful mothers, Hannah and Naomi. We have seen the prayers of a faithful church in Jerusalem when they were under great stress in Acts 4. We've seen the prayers of a faithful king of the nation of Judah, King Hezekiah. And today we're going to continue that series of powerful prayers. Prayer is calling upon the Lord, just as we sang earlier. Through prayer, I ask Jesus to hold my hand. Also a song that we sang earlier, a prayer song. Over the next few Sundays, we'll take a look at some of the specific prayers of the Apostle Paul for some specific churches and disciples. The Philippians, the Christians who are a part of the church at Philippi, the Colossians from the city of Colossae, the Thessalonians from Thessalonica, and today, the Ephesians from the church at Ephesus. And as we do, it will give each of us an opportunity to compare the prayers Paul prayed and the prayers we pray. Again, in my prayers, what do I pray? What do I pray? And I think it's great for us to see the biblical examples of the prayers that are found in the inspired word, in the inspired scripture. And that is an example for us to use as we pray, and it's good for us to take a look at how they prayed. In this case, how Paul prayed. What did he pray for himself? What did he pray for the churches? In particular today, the Christians who were a part of the church at Ephesus. This is what the apostle prayed for the Christians at Ephesus. He prayed, first of all, for them to know God better. He prayed that they would know God better. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, the apostle says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Thanksgiving, gratitude, thankful, counting our blessings, being willing to thank God for those mentors in the faith, for those other Christians who are at various churches that we're familiar with, for the Christians that are a part of this church family. Paul prayed for them and gave thanks for them. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This morning in our Bible class, we spoke of being disciples. Not just Christians, not just people that are saved, but disciples. And that word means learners. And that's a lifelong mission that we are on. Those of us who have named the name of Christ, who have accepted the blood of Christ to save us from our sins, who have been buried with Christ through baptism into death and raised to live a new life, that's a part of that new life. To grow in our faith, as Paul says, so that we may know him better. That's what he prayed for them. But then throughout the rest of this paragraph, he gets a little bit more specific. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And he could have gone anywhere with that, right? He could have prayed for them to have their eyes enlightened and their hearts enlightened for a lot of different things. But he says, first of all, that they would know the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That's the hope that he has called us to. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. One of the commentaries on the book of Ephesians is entitled, Chosen for Riches. And we are chosen. But we are chosen for glorious riches, not riches in a material sense, although some receive that blessing, not all. But riches in spiritual terms. And Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened to know that hope, to know that he has called us to the riches of his glorious inheritance and his incomparably great power, verse 19, for us who believe. But what about that power? Well, we say, well, God is powerful. God is strong. He's mighty. He can do everything. But Paul knows that we want something specific. We want a specific example of what that looks like in real life. And Paul points us to the empty tomb. He says, the best thing I can say about the power of this great God is that he raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And that now he has promised us that same resurrection. Now that is the center of our hope, that he has prayed that we would come to know, that we too can see our tomb one day empty. This incomparably great power, the power that is the same as the mighty strength he exerted, verse 20, when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes a big deal about that, starting at the very beginning of that marvelous book that tells us Jesus is better. God's covenant today is better. His promises are better. Paul says here that our God is powerful and exerts great power. And we see that in the empty tomb. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul connects that great power with our wonderful hope and with our salvation and with the church. Throughout the book of Ephesians, he calls us to be reminded of the blessings of God's people, God's family, the church of Jesus Christ. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul prays that we would know God better. He prays that that would be the central part of our faith. To know him better, to continue to know him better and better as each day, each year goes by. To know his hope, to know his power, to know his riches, to know his church. What a great and marvelous blessing. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus to know God better. Secondly, in another prayer in this great book, he prays that they would know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For he, Christ, himself is our peace. I'm sorry, that's chapter 2. A great chapter, by the way, but it's just not the one I want to read right now. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You know, we receive our names, right? From our family of origin. We receive our spiritual name from our great God in heaven. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul prays that they would be strengthened. Why? Because they're going through stuff, just like we are. And some days, some weeks, we go through more stuff than others, but we all go through those difficult experiences and times, just like he knew the church at Ephesus did. And he prays for them. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray, verse 16, that out of his glorious riches, and he had already talked about those riches, remember, at the very beginning. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The power comes from the Holy Spirit of God and his presence with us. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Holy Spirit continues the presence of Christ. And Jesus had told his disciples that before he ascended, before he died, before he was resurrected. He told them, I'm going away. And they all panicked, just like we would. But he said, my presence is not going to go away. I'm going to continue my presence with you, but it won't be in my physical body here with you. It will be in my spirit, the comforter, the advocate that I will send after I am gone. And Paul acknowledges that here in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Oh, what a powerful, powerful statement. What an incredible blessing. What a great truth that we need to be reminded of really every day, sometimes several times during the day. But Paul prays for them and he prays for us. That we may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And I can tell you, if that were not true, none of us would be able to be here today. But it's because of that great truth. How deep, how wide, how long, how strong, how faithful, how permanent is the love of Christ. And he prays that we would know that we'd be reminded of that we could know the love of Christ. Verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I realize that knowledge is important. I get that. And we all need to get that. And we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter tells us. But here's what Paul is praying here, that we may know the love that surpasses knowledge. And he tells the Corinthians the same thing. He says, well, there's knowledge and there's love. They're both important, they're both significant, but they're not the same. And he implores the Corinthians, as you know, 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter about love, about how to treat each other in loving ways. But he starts that in chapter 8 when he tells them this, knowledge is good, but it tends to make arrogant. The more you know, the more proud you can be of your knowledge. And that's the flaw there. If you have knowledge, but do not have love. Paul says, knowledge tends to puff up. Knowledge tends to make arrogant. Love, however, builds up. Love encourages. Love edifies. It doesn't mean that knowledge is not important. It doesn't mean that we don't have to give ourselves to knowing God better, as he has already prayed. Knowing Christ better, knowing his word better. It's just to say that if we do that without love, we've lost. And Satan is one. As Paul writes to this same group in Ephesus in chapter 4, he says, speaking the truth in love, we must speak. And that must follow up a life. We must live faithfully. We must speak faithfully. And it must be the truth that we speak, but it must be the truth being spoken in love. Paul prays that we may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's his prayer for us today. that we may know the love of Christ in all of its power, in all of its enormous size, that we will feel the presence of God filling us as well. The apostle prayed for the Christians in Ephesus that they might know God better. He prayed that they might know the love of Christ. And then thirdly, in another prayer in chapter 6, he prays for the declaration of the gospel. You say, oh, great, Bill, Ephesus 6, one of my favorite passages, because that's, you know, I'm in the Lord's army, that passage. And that, and the armor of God, that panoply of God, is a wonderful passage to think about. And I think we can think about it as it leads to this passage. Because those thoughts, and really all the thoughts in Ephesians up till now, lead him to pray this great prayer in chapter 6, beginning at verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You see, I think verse 18 includes prayer as a part of the armor of God. And I think that prayer is just as significant as that shield of faith, that breastplate of righteousness, that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I think prayer belongs in that list, in that very next verse. In verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, the apostle says. But he gets specific as he seeks them to pray and to know and to be active in declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. And he's doing that, right? He's doing that by example. Pray for the Lord's people. Pray for your church family, for this church family. Pray for the church family where you are, wherever you're a part of. And pray for the others as well. Pray for God's people. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Years ago, there was this keep on trucking theme, you know. I kind of want to break into that song for a few minutes, but I'm not gonna. Well, Paul says, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. And then he says this in verse 19, pray also for me. And that means a lot to me and to other church leaders. Here is Paul, a great apostle. He'd seen the Lord. He had converted from being his number one opponent and enemy to being the number one target, public enemy number one for the Jews and the Romans who wanted to destroy Christianity. He had gone on all these mission trips. He had had all of these persecutions, suffered immensely, immensely, as he recounts in 2 Corinthians 11 and in other places, as the book of Acts recounts in the narrative. He had written so much of the New Testament. And yet now here is this guy looking to the church at Ephesus, a congregation of the Lord's people, much like ours. And he says, pray also for me. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your church. Pray for all of God's people. Pray also for me, Paul says. And I give a hearty amen to that. Verse 19, pray also for me. Well, pray for what, Paul? That you won't have to suffer as much? That your life will be spared? That you can get out of jail? Because that's where he is right now. He's under house arrest in Rome, very likely. Certainly incarcerated somewhere. No, that's not what he asks. And it's very much like the church in Acts chapter 4 when they were threatened by the Jewish leaders that had killed Jesus Christ not very long before this happens. And they arrest two apostles, Peter and John, and they threaten them and they say, look, same thing that happened to him, this one that you're proclaiming, is going to happen to you if you don't shut up about it. And they go back to the church and the church prays. But what do they pray? They probably prayed for safety, and we covered this prayer a couple of weeks ago. They probably prayed to be kept safe. They probably prayed that God would melt the hearts of the Jewish leaders. Or maybe they did, maybe they didn't. We do know what they did pray that's recorded in Acts chapter 4. They prayed that they would be able to speak the word of God with boldness in spite of the threats. And Paul does the same thing here. While he is incarcerated, while he's going to be waiting for this trial before Caesar, this time when he could lose his life or be exonerated, he says, verse 19, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." What does Paul pray for the Ephesians? He asks them to pray for him and to pray for the declaration of the gospel. That's what he seeks them to pray for. That the word of God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that saving message may continue to be shared, even when the risk is great. Even when the people don't hear, or at least don't respond. To continue to declare that message, to continue to be ambassadors for Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, to continue to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, as Acts 1 verse 8 says. Starting where we are, and then in the surrounding areas, and to the very far reaches, corners of the world, to share that message of Christ. Paul prays for the Ephesians. He prays that they would know God better. He prays that they would know the love of Christ. He prays for the declaration of the gospel. And so a question as we begin to close: do these requests show up in your prayers? Ever? I get that when we're going through stuff and when we need stuff and when the burden is great, that's what we communicate to God through our prayers. And He wants that. Believe me, He wants that. But if that's all we ever pray, if that's all that our prayers are filled with, then we might want to take a look at that. When you look at your overall prayer life, your overall pattern of prayer, do you pray about these things? Ever? Do you pray to know God better? And then from that prayer, get out your Bible. Because as James says, faith without works is dead. So it's one thing to pray, "Father, help me to know you better." But what's important is to let that prayer lead you to open His word. That's how that happens. In your prayers, does the request to know the love of Christ show up? To know it personally, firsthand, and to know how His love reaches out far beyond yourself. To know how wide and deep and long and wide and breadth, all that that Paul says. To know that love. To know the love of Christ. In your prayers, do you ever include the declaration of the gospel? That you yourself might be a good witness. And that gospel might continue to be spread. Do you pray for the leaders? Do you pray for the teachers? The shepherds, the ministers, the teachers, the ministry leaders, all of those who seek to declare the gospel. Do you pray for them? Paul asks for that. But he asks for it for the sake of the declaration of the gospel. Because that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do, to let that message be spread. To let those who need to hear about all these other things hear about it. And hear about it from us. Hear about it from you. Do these requests to know God better, to know the love of Christ, for the declaration of the gospel, do these requests show up in your prayers ever? And if they haven't in a while, then maybe you can start that today. I think that would be good. One final prayer. It's really a praise. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We pray to the God who is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. I love this passage. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. My dear friend, I'm here today to tell you, whatever you're going through, our God is able. He is able. And he is able to take that burden and to do more than you could ask or imagine with it. To help you find yourself freed from that burden. And that may take time. Likely it will. But he can help you as you're on that path. It may cause you to be able to have that same boldness to declare the gospel of Christ with that person that God has placed on your heart that needs to hear that message and needs to hear it from you. He is able to do more than you could ask or imagine as you seek to know him better and to know the love of Christ. Our God is able to do that. He is able to do that. How do you know that, Bill? Because of his great power. What about his power, Bill? I'll tell you the same thing that Paul says. Check out the tomb of Jesus Christ. It's empty. It's empty. And it's empty because our God is able. And when we pray to this great God, we are making a confession. And it's simply this. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. This morning, if you need to come to the Savior, come as we stand, sing our song together.